now.
WMAL News at 7, I'm Maria Leaf. Hurricane Dorian has now grown to a dangerous Category 4 with winds that have grown to 140 miles an hour. Meteorologist Karen McGinnis says this has been a perplexing storm for weather forecasters because the conditions seem to change by the hour.
Computer models are suggesting something different every time they run. You can see here, even going into Wednesday, offshore. Will this happen? Is it possible it could not make landfall across the Florida coast? Certainly is possible.
President Trump, meanwhile, at Camp David monitoring the storm.
I'm going to Camp David. We have a lot of experts with us. We have a lot of the FEMA people that are coming up, but we're really, very importantly, coming back. And on Sunday at 12:30, we have a meeting at FEMA headquarters. And that will be about the time that we'll know where everything's going. A lot of decisions will be made.
And among the first responders from our area on the way, Maryland's Task Force 1 Urban Search and Rescue, who left overnight. There are also teams from Fairfax and Prince William County, as well as FEMA, that are making that trip right now. Well, you won't be troubled this weekend by road construction.
We do this with all the major travel holidays, and Labor Day is no exception, the unofficial end of summer. So what we're going to be doing is suspending non-emergency lane closures.
Charlie Gishler with Maryland State Highways says road crews are patrolling highways partially to help stranded drivers, but also to get blocked lanes opened ASAP.
For every minute that a lane is closed, it takes 4 minutes to recover that backup. So it's very timely and critical that we get out there and open these lanes up as soon as possible.
Enjoy the open roads while you can. Summer's over for everyone as of Tuesday morning. John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Protests continuing in Hong Kong.
They've got gas masks. They've got helmets. They've got body armor. And they've got umbrellas ready to fend off what they expect will be some sort of intervention by police.
Correspondent Will Ripley knew this morning Senator Robert F. Kennedy's assassin hospitalized in stable condition after being stabbed by a fellow inmate in a Southern California prison. The State Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation says the stabbing of Sirhan Sirhan happened at a correctional facility near San Diego. He was convicted of fatally shooting Kennedy immediately after the New York senator declared victory in the 1968 California Democratic presidential primary. The woman best known as the sassy Rhoda Morgenstern on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Valerie Harper, has died.
I'm still on my diet. Got any wax fruit?
Harper's character of Rhoda was so loved and successful on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, on which she won three Emmys between 1970 and 74, that the network spun her character off into its own sitcom titled Rhoda.
Hey, listen, mister. In this line, there's no class. In every sense of the word.
She also won an Emmy for her show. Although she never smoked, she was diagnosed with lung cancer in 2009, and in 2013, she was diagnosed with leptomeningeal carcinomatosis. That's when the cancer cell spread to the fluid membrane surrounding the brain. Valerie Harper was 80. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
The Kansas City Royals have been sold.
The Kansas City Royals have been sold by current owner David Glass and his family to an ownership group led by a local entrepreneur, John Sherman. The $1 billion deal will make Sherman and his group the third ever owners of the team, with Ewing Kaufman the first. He founded the club back in 1969. Glass took over stewardship of the club after Kaufman's death in 1993. He later bought the team for $96 million in April of 2000. The Royals went to back-to-back World Series in 2014. And 15, and won it all against the New York Mets in the second of those two trips under Glass's ownership. I'm John Stolmus.
In sports, the O's beat the Royals 14-2 last night. They'll meet up again this evening. The Nats beat the Marlins 7-6. They'll play again tonight at 7:05. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Summertime in Washington. It's not the heat. It's not the humidity. It's how fast everything changes. From seasonal storms to full-scale weather events, trust WMAL for the summer weather info you need.
The severe thunderstorm warning, of course, these things come and they go.
Get accurate and dependable forecasts from the Weather Channel.
You might want to get ready for some heavy rain.
On 105.9 FM.
Active weather on the way.
Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention, if you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the hernia mesh Mesh Helpline now at 800-245-5187. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-245-5187. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-245-5187. That's 800-245-5187.
WML traffic and weather. Here's Christine Eads in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Crash reported in Silver Spring as you make your way on the inner loop of the Beltway right before Georgia Avenue. It is blocking your left lane, not causing any real delay. Just get over to the right. Police are on the scene. In Virginia, in Gainesville, 29 remains shut down. Your westbound lanes are shut down. This is just north of 66. The crash is at Heathcote Boulevard. Police, fire, and rescue still on the scene. Your eastbound lanes are open, but westbound you are forced to get around the accident through there. And downtown, Downing Street remains closed eastbound and westbound in Northeast between 14th Street and Montana Avenue for police activity. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Mostly sunny today, high 88, cloudy tonight, low 69, 72 right now at Reagan National. I'm Maria Leaf on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM,
Saturday morning update for Labor Day weekend. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by John Gizzi every Saturday morning. John, good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Rick, and happy Labor Day to all.
John, there are so many Republicans leaving Capitol Hill. They're losing more on their roster than the Redskins are losing when they have to cut the preseason down to the regular season.
Yes, that is so true. As of today, Saturday morning, 13 Republican House members have announced they are either retiring, resigning, or running for another office. The latest of these was Congressman John Shimkus, veteran Republican congressman from Springfield, Illinois. He's a veteran because I remember covering his first winning race for the job in 1996. That was 2 years after the young Shimkus waged a strong but losing race against the then Democratic representative, now U.S. Senator, Dick Durbin. He's a West Point graduate. He's someone who knows the energy issue cold and rose to be a powerful figure on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He could have held the seat for as long as he wanted, and it will probably remain in Republican hands. But this raises a much bigger issue, as it did days before, when Wisconsin's Rep. Sean Duffy announced he was leaving as well before the birth of his ninth child. One wonders, why is such talent, such people who could do so much in Congress, leaving? Well, part of it is this isn't the best job either Duffy of Wisconsin or Illinois Shimkus is going to get. I will wager both will turn in stellar performances in the private sector and make more money than they ever did in Congress. Stephen Hess, political scientist at the Brookings Institute, says it's heartening to see people follow the admonition of the founding fathers, leave Congress, and go back into business. Very much the way Congressman Lloyd Benson, Democrat of Texas, did when he retired in his early 30s in 1954, made millions in the insurance business, came back 16 years later to be a U.S. Senator, and of course ran for vice president. That's a heartening story about America and the opportunity society we live in. It's not so heartening when the same House members retire and make money trying to lobby. In other words, cash in by teaching people to get through the laws that they helped pass. I don't know what these two members will do, but I know that the score right now is 13 R's and only 3 Democrats leaving. And more R's will be leaving as summer becomes fall. Just watch.
So Senator Johnny Isaacson is leaving his seat in the Senate. He's a Republican, of course, from Georgia. And he's suffering from Parkinson's disease, I understand.
Yes, that's true. This has been well known on Capitol Hill. Senator Isaacson is 74 years old. He has been in public life for four decades. I remember when he ran for governor of the Peach State, and George and Barbara Bush campaigned hard for him back in 1990. He didn't make it, but he got a nice consolation prize, the U.S. Senate seat. Johnny Isakson will officially leave the Senate on December 31st of this year, and that will mean that Georgia will have contests for both U.S. Senate seats, Senator Isakson and the other seat of Senator David Perdue, both Republicans. Already six Democrats are vying to compete against Senator Perdue. Some may come over to the other now open Senate race, and we may see some other noted names there. Jason James Carter, grandson of former President Jimmy Carter and himself a Democratic nominee for governor in 2014. He's a possibility. Speaking of famous names, no sooner did Senator Isakson make his announcement than his friend and predecessor in the House, Newt Gingrich, was immediately boomed as a stopgap or caretaker senator, appointed for 1 year when he would receive national attention. It's a fascinating story of the former speaker and presidential candidate getting a year to be Senator Newt Gingrich, R. Georgia. I wrote Newt about it, and the former speaker replied with two words, won't happen.
So who do the Republicans have that they can run for Senate? Any marquee value names there?
No names that most of our listeners would know about, Rick. Congressman Jack Kingston, who narrowly lost the primary to Senator Perdue in 2014, is mentioned for the appointments, as is Chris Carr, the state attorney general and a protege of Senator Isakson. It's been said in the past by admirers that Attorney General Carr is to Johnny Isakson what Cardinal Ratzinger was to John Paul II, an heir apparent. And, of course, John Bartus, former Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services, someone who made nearly $1 billion as a private entrepreneur, is a dark horse candidate. All of these are going to be mentioned, boomed, speculated about, but in the end, the appointment will be made by one person, Governor Brian Kemp. A final note on this, Rick. All candidates for this seat, regardless of party, will appear on the same ballot in November, and the top two vote-getters, again regardless of party, will compete in a runoff in January. This is a race we're going to hear a lot of.
Vice President Pence in Poland this weekend, sitting in for President Trump, who has stayed home to keep an eye on the hurricane as it approaches Florida. And there's a question mark as to whether the vice president will meet with Lech Walesa.
Yes. On Friday, I participated in a briefing by senior administration officials about the vice president's trip to Poland to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the outbreak of World War II. There was a time some years ago when anyone, world leaders, entertainers, sports figures, journalists, would go to Poland, and the natural thing to do and the most spiritually uplifting was to get an audience and a photograph with Lech Walesa, the George Washington of Poland. He was the electrician in Gdansk who helped form the Solidarity Union, led a strike of 17,000, and established a union in a communist country. Later, when the communist yoke was overthrown in Poland, he became its first democratically elected president and also was a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. Strangely, there are no plans so far for the vice president to pay homage and perhaps take a picture and have conversation with Walesa. The administration is somehow careful about this, perhaps because just a day before, Lech Walesa told a newspaper in Poland he felt the U.S. was no longer the moral and spiritual leader of the world, and he urged President Trump to change this posture. It would be a very interesting conversation he'd have with Vice President Pence. We'll see if the two of them sit down.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. As always, John, thank you very much, and you have a wonderful holiday weekend.
I'm looking forward to a nice holiday weekend, and it's on a weekend like this, I think of my father, not only a man who worked hard his whole life, but was proud to be a card-carrying member of the Teamsters Union, and to all of those who've enjoyed this right to organize and not abused it, happy Labor Day.
And that is what Labor Day is all about. Thank you, John. 7:16 Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're going to head live to Cocoa Beach coming up next to get the very latest on the ground in Florida. Impact on the airport and what that means for air travel. Also questions about whether Walt Disney World will stay open. We'll be checking in live from Cocoa Beach with Cheryl White coming up next. Then we've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer on the way and KT McFarland. But first, Christine Eads is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Crash in Silver Spring on the inner loop of the Beltway right before Georgia Avenue blocks your left lane. Not seeing any real delays. Just stay over to the right. Downtown Downing Street in Northeast remains closed eastbound and westbound between 14th Street and Montana Avenue because of police activity. And in Gainesville, your westbound lanes of 29 just north of 66 remain closed because of a serious crash at Heathcote Boulevard. Your eastbound lanes remain open. 66 looks good inside and outside the Beltway. You're moving at speed. No accidents or issues reported. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, your WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For the D.C. area, 87-degree high today in the sunshine. For tomorrow, some afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 83. Partly cloudy Monday with a high of 86. Sunshine on Tuesday up to 88. And partly cloudy Wednesday with a high of 90. 67 right now. We're headed to 87. And it's 7:17 on the Saturday morning update.
The McMillan Sedation Dentistry team changes lives every day with our compassion and expertise. I'm Dr. Alex McMillan, and if you fear going to the dentist, we're here to help. My staff is like a family who provides a safe, comfortable home where we can create a smile you love in as little as one anxiety-free visit. We offer comprehensive, cosmetic, and implant treatments from a single tooth to full mouth restoration, all in one office with gentle sedation options. With years of highly advanced world-class training, I'm able to provide solutions to the most challenging cases while keeping you comfortable and relaxed. My staff will work with you to tailor a treatment plan to fit your schedule and financial considerations. No matter how many years or how many fears, it's time for you to smile easy. Call us today at 703-503-9490. That's 703-503-9490. Learn more and see our smile gallery at smileeasy.com. That's smileeasy.com.
Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected, just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking.
From right now through Labor Day, every purchase you make at Marlowe Furniture will help children living with cancer and some amazing doctors trying to find a cure. You shop, you save, we donate. Only at Marlowe. In Alexandria, Rockville, Laurel, and Forestville.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
We have to talk about it.
Nope, I don't wanna.
We have to.
No.
But we need life insurance.
La, 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 I am not listening to you. La,
so
la,
you
la,
don't
la.
Love me then?
What? Oh, fine. We need life insurance, but all the paperwork, it's such a pain.
Not with Ethos.
Ethos? Is that some kind of yoga thing?
No, Ethos is life insurance for people like us.
Like us?
People who don't have time for fine print, insurance jargon, and hidden fees.
Yeah, I pretty much hate all that stuff.
Of course you do. With Ethos, you can apply online, and there is a policy for every budget.
Really?
Yes. The online application only takes 10 minutes, and you'll be taking the first step in ensuring the kids and I will be safe, even if something unexpected happens.
Ethos brings you choices that don't require an in-person meeting with an agent, and in most cases, there's no need for a doctor's appointment.
Feel better?
Yeah. I do.
Ethos, life insurance made simple. Apply online in just 10 minutes. Get a free instant quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com. ethoslife.com.
As the old saying goes, stock markets tend to go up a staircase and down an elevator. A lot of things can create volatility in the stock market. How will these events impact your financial future? Hi, this is Greg Smith, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show. We look at stocks on the way up, stocks on the way down, and what causes them to move. To learn more, join us each Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WMAL.
Greg Smith and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated.
Everybody wants to eat better, and the only thing better than eating better is eating better while you spend less. That's what you'll get at your neighborhood Wise Markets. We've been busy lowering prices on over 7,000 items, from fresh to frozen and breakfast to dinner. Look for the low, low prices every day tag and watch the savings add up.
Eat better. Spend less. That's Wise.
At the Big Screen Store, Labor Day savings start now. A Samsung 75-inch 4K UHD TV plus a 65-inch TV for just $13.99. Whoa, that's two for one. The Big Screen Store, now open in Springfield. At the Big Screen Store, our prices beat Best Buy and online guaranteed. Plus, we double the Samsung warranty and you get delivery and installation installed by pros on your schedule. Not even Amazon can do that. The Big Screen Store. The Big Screen Store is your motion furniture headquarters with innovative furniture featuring power headrests, full power recline, USB ports, lighting and accessories, power lumbar support, plus an incredible selection. The Big Screen Store. At the Big Screen Store, Labor Day savings start now. A Samsung 75-inch 4K UHD TV plus a 65-inch TV for just $13.99. Whoa, that's two for one. The Big Screen Store, now open in Springfield.
Do you have what it takes to pull a plane? Hi, I'm Daniel Morales, athlete from Special Olympics Virginia, and I'm inviting you to join me on the tarmac at Dulles Airport on September 14th for the DMV's heaviest fundraiser. Go to planepull.com, create a team, and give it a try. Your donation helps support athletes like me. Now that's just plain awesome. The Dulles State Festival and Plane Pull is presented by the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority and United Airlines. Learn more at planepull.com.
7:23, and as we said, Cheryl White is in Cocoa Beach, Florida this morning. And Cheryl, you were out on the beach yesterday. It is Labor Day weekend. What kind of an impact is this having on the tourists and the visitors?
This is going to be a huge economic impact, not only here, but also, of course, around the attractions in Orlando. But out on the beach here, normally on a Friday, on a Labor Day weekend, the beach is just covered with umbrellas. I went out, there was one umbrella.
Wow.
Where I was. Now, to give you some perspective, I'm right in the middle of the Cocoa Beach Pier and downtown Cocoa Beach. So that's about a mile on either side of where I am. I could see a little cluster of umbrellas downtown around Coconuts. I could see a few umbrellas down around the pier. And that was really it. One car in the parking lot, by the way, one.
For a Labor Day Friday, that's amazing. What are you seeing in terms of evacuations?
You know, I've been checking this morning. We are here under a mandatory evacuation as of yesterday because we're on a barrier island here, about as far out as into the ocean as you can go. And I'm not seeing any rush. I'm checking the DOT cameras. Looks like traffic is flowing smoothly on all of those cameras. I'm not seeing any problems at all. So I don't see a big rush of people to leave at this point.
Well, I would think if you had made plans and booked a hotel and everything, you may want to wait a little longer to see what direction this thing is going to take, because there are, you know, models this morning that show that it could just skirt the coast and not really hit inland at all. We're hearing the Orlando airport may close on Monday and possible closings at Walt Disney World. What's the very latest?
Looks like the Orlando airport will close in effect at 2 a.m. on Monday. As far as Disney goes, they haven't made any official announcements, but they did close for Irma, and that was only for the sixth time in Disney history that they closed. They shut down for 2 days, it cost them about $100 million in lost revenue. But on the other hand, you have to think of the safety of the people, and would anyone come anyway with the kind of weather we're expecting? And, you know, they just opened that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, so crowds have been tremendous over the past few days.
Well, you know, you talk about the economic impact on Disney World. Think of the economic impact on those families that have saved up, because it costs a fortune to take a family to Disney World with the cost of the Cokes and the T-shirts and everything that goes along with the admissions. You know, the impact on them, they have to travel to get there, they get there, and then if there's a closure, oh, that's just, you know, devastating for those people.
It is, and, you know, I suspect there are more than usual of those people because of this new attraction. It has attracted so many people standing in long lines to get into that one.
Now, there have been reports of mile-long gas lines and shortages of gas and food and things. We talked with one of our colleagues in Melbourne earlier this morning, and he said Publix was pretty well stocked when he went in, but there'd been a rush on things on Thursday. What are you sensing there in the Cocoa Beach area in terms of the impact on just general supplies?
You know, I saw pretty much the same. I saw a rush of people come in, kind of clear all of the water out. Batteries were just about gone. People were heading out the door with canned goods and paper products. I checked back later in the day. The shelves were restocked, and they've been doing very well at keeping those supplies in stores. So that's a good thing. As for gas lines, I haven't really seen a big problem out here on the beach, and I've checked. Looks like the stations all have gas out here, but in places like Orlando and Miami, the stations have been running dry. That's been a big problem in the big metropolitan areas.
And one last question. When you talk to people, do they have a pretty good sense of confidence that FEMA and the government response, not only federal but the state response, do they feel pretty confident that, you know, they're in good hands? Or is there skepticism, you know, after Katrina and some of the other storms, there's always criticism of FEMA. What sense are you getting from people there?
You know, the people who live out on the beach are kind of a different sort of folks. They tend to, when I ask them these questions, they say, yeah, it is what it is. We'll get power back when we get it. We'll be okay. They don't really seem that concerned about the aftermath. They tell me they've been through it before. They'll ride through this one as well. So out here, it's kind of a different story. I think if you went inland, you would find a different attitude about that. And, of course, there was the big nursing home problem. So many people died in Irma, and they had new regulations put in place that the nursing homes had to install generators. Well, a lot of them still haven't done that. So we'll see when this storm passes through. I'm hoping it will not be as devastating as it could be.
Cheryl White, live for us this morning from Cocoa Beach, Florida. Cheryl, thank you, and hopefully this thing will just skirt right up the coast and be able to dodge the bullet down there.
I second that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Appreciate it. 7:29, it is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
It's now a distinct honor and privilege to welcome to the Larry O'Connor Show with President Donald Trump. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, and I greatly appreciate the nice things you've said.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Newt Gingrich, morning, Mr. Speaker.
Well, it's always great to be with you guys. It's just fun.
Thank you so much. WMAL.
Mike Lee, Senator of Utah. Thank you for joining us, Senator Lee.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
The 7:30 News with Maria Leaf is next. Then we're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland. Stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Maria Leaf. The Southeast preparing for a multi-state impact from Hurricane Dorian. Meteorologist Allison Chinchar monitoring the hurricane's eye.
You watch the eye very closely because that really gives you a very good indication of whether or not the storm is undergoing rapid intensification. And it has been in the last 24 hours, but the eye is getting larger. It's getting more concentric around some of the rest of the storms here.
Dozens of first responders from our area also on their way this morning to Florida. Florida to assist with whatever happens. They're expected to stay down there about 2 weeks. Florida residents, meanwhile, making a run on gasoline as Dorian makes its way. Larry Peck is the manager of a gas station in West Palm Beach.
I think because of the seriousness of this storm, I see this happening a lot sooner. So I have a feeling going into closer to the storm, like when we hit in Sunday and Monday, I have a feeling it's going to be a lot smoother because I believe everyone's taking this so serious, as they should, and they're coming here now and being proactive instead of waiting until the last minute.
On a lighter note, a new study names America's most pet-friendly cities.
Nearly 85 million U.S. households, or two-thirds, have at least one pet. And a study by Wallet Hub looked at items such as the cost of taking care of a pet, local animal protection laws, and the number of dog-friendly parks and trails. Landing at the top of the list of pet-friendly cities, Scottsdale, Arizona, followed by Orlando and Tampa, Florida, Austin, Texas, and Phoenix. The worst city for pets is Fresno, California. Laredo, Texas, and Buffalo, New York round out the bottom three. I'm Ann Cates.
In sports, the O's beat the Royals 14-2 last night. They'll meet up again at 7:15 this evening. The Nats beat the Marlins 7-6. They'll play again at 7:05. WMAL, traffic and weather next.
Attention homeowners, this is Mary Walter, and you've heard me tell you that you can get more for your money at Thompson Creek. You've also heard me tell you why. It's because Thompson Creek does it all. That means they design, build, and install replacement windows so you never pay a middleman markup. Plus, you can always count on high-quality windows at an affordable price with Thompson Creek, direct from their local factory. Thompson Creek has been building replacement windows for 39 years, and you save 39%. Buy one window and get one 39% off, plus zero interest until March 2021. See thompsoncreek.com for details. If your home has been telling you it's time to replace your windows now, don't miss this sale. Call Thompson Creek now to make an appointment. You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call 855-57-CREEK. That's 855-57-CREEK. Call now before this amazing sale is gone.
Hi, Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial, and you've heard me over the years talking about the success we've had right here on this radio station. Advertising on WMAL not only delivers interested customers, but qualified ones as well. Just this morning, I received a call from a WMAL listener asking how Cornerstone First Financial can assist with their mortgage. If you own a business, I highly encourage you to go to WMAL.com and find out how they can bring new customers to you as well. WMAL and Cornerstone First, partners in business.
WMAL, traffic and weather. Here's Christine Eads in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Crash in Silver Spring on the inner loop of the Beltway right before Georgia Avenue blocks your left lane. Not seeing any real delays, just stay over to the right. Downtown Downing Street in Northeast remains closed eastbound and westbound between 14th Street and Montana Avenue because of police activity. And in Gainesville, your westbound lanes of 29 just north of 66 remain closed because of a serious crash at Heathcote Boulevard. Your eastbound lanes remain open. 66 looks good inside and outside the Beltway. You're moving at speed. No accidents or issues reported. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, your WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Mostly sunny today, high 88. Cloudy tonight, low 69. 70 right now at Reagan National. I'm Maria Leaf on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and my friends and realtors, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with Keller Williams, are killing it. Sarah and Debbie just sold Bob's home in just 5 days at $10,000 over the asking price. You know, agent selection matters, and now's the time you need to work with an experienced agent with a proven track record like Sarah and Debbie Reynolds. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with their clients who always say, "We're so glad we called the Reynolds team." I've seen their systems and their extensive list of ready buyers, over 8,000 pre-screened buyers who are looking for homes in the D.C. area. At the end of the deal, you want the most money in your pocket. The Reynolds team has the track record and guarantees to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they're going to pay you the difference, guaranteed, in writing. Call Sarah and Debbie Reynolds right now, 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
7:35 on the Saturday morning update. A happy Labor Day weekend. If anybody can appreciate labor on the weekend, it would be all of us here. And Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, who joins us. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research, a former trained CIA intel operative. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick, always good to be on and laboring hard with you on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, a lot going on in the news. Now,
yeah.
There was an explosion on the launch pad on an Iranian missile launch earlier in the week. The mm-hmm. president tweeted a pretty sharp picture of it, which my understanding is it is a lot sharper than commercial satellites. There have been questions as to whether he breached any kind of confidentiality by putting out a, you know, apparently one of our intelligence photographs versus something commercial. First off, your take on that.
Now, look, I've seen similar intelligence shots declassified before that provide a great deal of detail regarding events. And so I'm not remotely troubled by this. He didn't reveal any sensitive methods or new intelligence capabilities. They all know that we have really good satellites that can take really good pictures. And in this case, I think it was very important for the president to make the point. First off, we observed it to remind them that we do see what they're doing. And secondly, we had nothing to do with it. And he made it very clear that, you know, whatever catastrophe that came to the illegal missile program, their attempt to launch, it wasn't us. And at this point, I tend to believe the president is completely correct. I think he was just trying to underscore the point that, you know, you guys are up to no good. You're violating UN sanctions regarding your missile program. And we're just here to let you know that we're watching and it wasn't us.
So let's clarify.
Yeah.
That missile launch would have violated UN sanctions.
According to what I understand about the parameters of what the restrictions are and what we think they were going to do with the missile or what the type of missile and what it was going to do, yes, I believe that's why. It's become a point of controversy because they were up to no good, and now they're trying to blame us for undermining it. And, again, I just – nothing tells me or indicates to me that we did it.
Well, now, maybe those Iranian officials who are trying to blame us read the New York Times article earlier in the week because they reported that a cyber military attack from U.S. cyber forces brought down a database that was used by the Revolutionary Guard Corps to target ships in the Persian Gulf hours after the Iranian Republic shot down an American drone. So that's a report in the New York Times that we actually did an attack on them about the ships. So one might take the next leap to say, huh, maybe we blew up the missile too.
Well, one could make that leap, but I you know, look, I know a little bit about how this would work and some of the things we've done. And I'm not going to deny that we have capabilities. I think after all the time we spent targeting them, I think it'd be stupid to say we haven't had successes. With that said, Rick, cyber databases and being able to remove something or stop something at launch pad are two very different things. I don't believe for a minute the two are related.
No,
I understand your thinking on this.
No, I understand. Yeah. It's, you know, just because we could doesn't mean we did.
Right. And then on the other thing of the database. Okay, look, you know, the Iranians have to understand that they are acting in a very aggressive way. There are more things that we can do than we let on. And to your point, simply because we don't do something doesn't mean we can't do something. And I think that's where there's been a subtle but direct set of reminders to them. It's like they need to come back to the negotiating table because bad things could happen if they don't. So that's I think that's what's going on.
All right, let's while we're in the cyber domain here, while we're in cyberspace, let's turn to AI, artificial intelligence, and China. Now, we know that some of the major tech companies have been talking with China about some of the artificial intelligence capabilities, and a lot of people here were troubled about that because the Chinese are already hacking and, you know, stealing intellectual properties. What about the other side of the coin, though? What about the Pentagon announcing it may use AI on China?
Yeah, the Pentagon has been attempting over the past few years to really catch up in this area. It was completely neglected during the Obama years, and I know that the senior staff, generals of the Pentagon have been trying to figure out a path forward. So artificial intelligence is not like the movie AI, where some computer does everything at once and tries to set up a war game. This is essentially what we're talking here are two pieces. First, as we just alluded to with Iran, there are things we can do with computer system cyber attacks, which could greatly hobble the Chinese economy. The Chinese are very vulnerable to external influences. They need a lot of gas, a lot of fuel, a lot of petrochemicals from the Middle East. They have huge requirements for food for their people. Gee, it'd be really bad if all of a sudden all these commercial systems which deliver that stuff don't work. Just saying. Secondly, regarding the ability to rapidly respond to things, to circumstance, being able to use systems of systems in unison, that's another area of artificial intelligence. And, Rick, we're not there yet. We're not there to the point of where we have, Terminator-level computer that controls everything. I don't think we're going to be there anytime soon. With that said, there's versions of AI which can make things work way more rapidly than a human being can and can figure things out more rapidly. And I think that's what the Pentagon is talking about.
All right. I want to get your read on James Comey. A lot of people have feelings about this, and I read some of the findings of the report earlier this morning pretty intense things said by the Inspector General about James Comey. He was actually referred for prosecution, but the DOJ opted not to. And as a number of people said, Comey's response has been rather cocky.
Slightly. And as John Solomon said in a couple of articles he's written, it's like I think his cockiness is undeserved and probably not going to look well in the next year. There's still an ongoing, at least from my understanding from talking to folks, at least three ongoing investigations relating to James Comey and the whole Russian narrative. And one of them in particular focuses on the FISA issue. So, yes, he dodged a bullet here. Essentially, a lot of these, I'll just call him a clown. A lot of these senior clowns will overclassify stuff they write, and I think that's what happened here. Comey overclassified the memo regarding the president's his visit with the president. Then he decided, I don't want this to be classified. I want this to get out. So, in essence, I understand the call, the recommendation of Horowitz to prosecute for the release of information. I can see at the same time why this was not quote unquote classified information. I think it was probably overclassified. I think people like him abuse that all the time, hoping that they classify something and want it to be hidden. Well, of course, until you want it to be unhidden and you want to give it to your friend, your lawyer, who gives it to the New York Times. So that's what happened here. I think there's more to come on this. Comey's not out of the woods yet.
So where are we on the FISA issue? You spoke with a former attorney general?
Yeah. So there's several pieces of this at play right now that have to do with third organizations within the government. The FBI did not act on this alone. And I think a lot of folks, Rick, were acting in other intelligence organizations, law enforcement organizations in good faith. One of the things you have to do now is figure out who the FBI lied to, who basically they forced people to join their deception based on the fact that these other organizations thought they were telling the truth. So some of this is trying to figure out what kind of lies were used to motivate other organizations to jump into the whole charade. So I think that's where part of this is going to go. And it's going to be interesting to see what comes out to find out what lies and deceptions that Comey and his staff told others to try to get him to go along. It's going to be very interesting.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, great to have you with us, the author of Operation Darkheart. If you have a little extra time on your hands this weekend, pick up a copy of the book and check it out.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
Tony, thank you. Coming up on 7:44, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We've got Christine Eads in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
The crash in Silver Spring on the inner loop of the Beltway before Georgia Avenue has cleared, so all your lanes are open and the delays are gone. In Gainesville, 29 remains closed. Your westbound lanes, this is just north of 66 because of a crash. Your eastbound lanes are open. It's right at Heathcote Boulevard. So Heathcote, if you're making your way westbound, you're forced to turn right only. And northbound 29, no left turns around Heathcote Boulevard because of this crash. As you make your way downtown, Downing Street in northeast is closed between eastbound and westbound between 14th and Montana Avenue because of police activity. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Great weekend for Washington. Mostly sunny, high of 87 today. For tomorrow, thunderstorms, high of 83. There are afternoon thunderstorms, and you know that could just be sporadic. It's a 50-50 chance.
Partly cloudy on Monday for Labor Day with a high of 86, sunshine Tuesday to 88, and clouds on Wednesday, a high to 90, 68 in D.C., headed to 87. We'll be talking with K.T. McFarland. That's next.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
WMAL. It's all about the conversation.
Appreciate the voice you give me.
Chris Plant.
You're funny. You're insightful.
Larry O'Connor.
Thank goodness for your humor.
Rush Limbaugh.
This is it.
Mark Levin. 105.9 FM. WMAL. Where Washington comes to talk.
The Knights belong to the music at the Birchmere, America's legendary music hall. On Friday, August 30th, Neumeier Flyer presents a tribute to the Everly Brothers and DMV favorites Grimm. The fun continues on Friday, September 6th, when the Fabulous Hubcaps appear, playing the best of the golden oldies. Then September 8th, it's Remembering Doc, a tribute to bluegrass great Doc Watson by his former bandmates and master picker Wayne Henderson. September 15th, the trifecta of folk arrive, the Kingston Trio, the Brothers Four, and the Limelighters, all on one big show. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Be there at the Birchmere.
Have you been thinking of buying a home? Are you a first-time home buyer with lots of questions? The main question is, how do I even get started in this whole process? The way you begin is to tune in to the Underwriter's Corner on Sunday, 11 a.m. to the noon hour. Put any question you have directly to the underwriter at First Preference Mortgage. All the loan officers will also be available to talk to you one-on-one. This is one time you don't get voicemail. Getting pre-approved is free. There's no cost to you. Know what you're qualified for, how much money you will need out of your pocket, and what your monthly mortgage payment would be before you go out looking at houses. Join us on Sunday at 11 a.m. here at WMAL 105.9 FM, WMAL. I look forward to talking with you on Sunday, 11 a.m. for the Underwriter's Corner.
Don't miss the Underwriter's Corner with host Bill Parisi, Sundays at 11, right here on WMAL.
7:48. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. It is an honor to be joined by K.T. McFarland. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration and has spent decades serving this country. K.T., good morning.
Pleasure to be with you.
Well, the president went to the G7, and among his goals was to make it the G8 again. But I wanted to get your overall assessment of how you feel the president performed with his colleagues, with the other members of the G7, and also pretty much as a president. Struck me as he was pretty presidential.
Yeah, I thought he actually did a really terrific job, and in part because when they initially set the agenda for the G7, which is up to the French president because it was on French territory, it was his turn, he had things like climate change, banning plastic straws, and Trump seized the agenda to turn it on to trade, which is the only thing that really counts right now for them, or should count. And the one thing that I was struck with, though, is that the elephant in the room wasn't there. So China, not a member of the G7, wasn't there, but the big topic should have been, and I think was behind closed doors, what about the trade war with China? What about the slowing down of the world economy? And I think that the interesting thing is that Trump is in a position now where he can totally change the dynamic of this trade war, which, incidentally, Trump did not start. China started the trade war not just against us, but against all of the advanced economies about 20 years ago. Trump has just been the first guy, first American, willing to stand up to the bullying and call him out on it, and our European and other trading partners, they have not even stood up. So Trump's in a position now, mostly because of what he's done with his early economic policies, where we have, one of the highest growth rates in the that we've had recently. We have the strongest economy in the world, one of the strongest economies in the world. We have very great job creation. So we're doing pretty well, especially compared to everybody else who's not doing very well. So, and then in addition to that, Trump has walked into that G7 meeting with a couple of things in his pocket. He has a Canada-U.S.-Mexico trade deal. He's already had a South Korea-U.S. trade deal. At the G7, he and the Japanese announced that they're about to have a Japan-U.S. trade deal. And at the G7, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Trump both announced that they want a U.S.-UK trade deal the minute the Brits leave the European Union, which will be by the end of October. So Trump's got a lot of good cards in his pocket to play. And I think if he wants to do in one fell swoop a major stand up to China, renegotiate the trade deal, but also reassert American leadership in the world, is that he can assemble all those countries that were at the G7, put them in his back pocket, and then go to the Chinese and say, we are a coalition of nations. We, Japan, South Korea, the United States, Britain, Canada, Mexico, and then hopefully the European Union countries, we now say to you, China, it is time to renegotiate a trade deal with all of us, because the deal that we have, each of us individually with you, isn't working in this modern world. And then what Trump should do is take off his bad boy hat, you know, his mean, tough guy hat, and put on his nice guy hat and be very flattering to the Chinese president and congratulate him for the great successes that China's had, but say it's time for a new deal. Then behind closed doors, Trump and all the groups behind him, all the countries behind him, should say, enough is enough. We now represent the most powerful economies in the world, and you either change your trading deal with us, with all of us, or we can do great harm to your economy at a time when you're very vulnerable. So I think Trump could take this initiative right now. He's got all the leverage, and he, frankly, would be very good for him politically to go into an election season with something like this on in his hand, and also it would improve not only the world but the American economy as well.
Is part of the problem for the G7 members the fact that our economy is very, very strong? Mm-hmm. We can withstand the back and forth with China. But what about the impact on those countries? Is that why they're nervous and skittish? And I know some comments were made over the dinner about, you know, not wanting to be in a trade war. Is that part of their fear, that they just don't have the economies to withstand it?
You know, that's a really good point, because they don't. The German economy is now probably in recession. The French economy is heading there. The other economies in the European Union are not very good. The Brits are probably the better off than any of the other countries in the European Union. So they've been reluctant, even if they wanted to stand up to China. They've not been in a position to do so, because the China economy is going really well. Theirs are not going so well. But that's why there's strength in numbers. And if Trump could organize a coalition with all these countries, which China has been able to pick off one by one by one, if Trump goes with a united front, bearing the brunt of whatever trade war we have, and then can say with all of the assembled, okay, China, it's time to redo this deal. And so the fact that the Europeans are not strong enough to do it themselves individually, collectively they are.
I want to turn to the James Comey story and the sort of the anti-Trump media campaign in general. And we saw it again this week with Lawrence O'Donnell over at MSNBC, came out with a report, according to one anonymous source, that President Trump's loan with a Deutsche Bank had been co-signed by Russian oligarchs. Well, they had to walk it back and apologize. But that's just sort of the latest example of this hysteria about Trump. And, you know, we saw it in the Mueller investigation.
You know, it to me, the Lawrence O'Donnell thing this week, where he came out saying that he's heard from a source that's close to Deutsche Bank that they've seen some kind of document where the Russian oligarchs stood behind and guaranteed Trump's loan. Here's the equivalent of that. That's like when you go to a bar and the guy sitting next to you says, and you overhear him, and you say, and he says, you know, I was at a party the other week, and I talked to somebody who said that they had heard in a locker room that so-and-so did this. Well, you know, second, third hand, maybe, sort of, I overheard, kind of. You know, this is what passes for news, and yet breaking news, and there's no consequence to the news organizations for just basically making stuff up, going out, putting it on the air, rattling everybody. And that's one of the big problems I've got. All this anti-Trump media is so maniacally focused on Trump that first it was the Russia probe and the Mueller investigation. Like you say, they came out empty. So now the media switched gears and, oh, he's a white supremacist, he's Hitler. And now that the Justice Department hasn't charged Comey with any crime, although they said he did a lot of bad things, now the media is interpreted as a great defeat for Trump. They're so consumed by this anti-Trump mania that they fail to see the real international implications of their actions and the damage that they're doing to U.S. interests. Because the rest of the world looks at this. They look at American media and the prognostications and the pundits, and they say, look, Trump has come to us, and he's tough with us. He wants to change the trade deal. He wants NATO countries to contribute more to the common defense. He wants to have us take off our tariffs. We don't want to do any of this. We like the fact that the United States for the last 20 years has been subsidizing our economic, trade, and security agreements. We don't want them to stop. Trump wants us to stop. He wants us to change. Let's just wait Trump out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're looking at the media, we're deciding he's a one-term president. And if he is impeached, he might not even get out the whole first term. So let's just wait him out, and then we'll have somebody that we'd like to deal with, and things can go to the good old days when the United States was helping out everybody, subsidizing our economies at their expense, subsidizing our common defense at their expense. And so I think that the implications of what the media has done is pretty significant. Although, again, like Lawrence O'Donnell and MSNBC, nobody will ever take them to task for it, and they'll never admit they did anything wrong.
Well, I think you make a really important point, and that is if you're China or you're Kim Jong-un in North Korea and you see Jerry Nadler talking about impeachment and you see this constant drumming on CNN of poll numbers that would show the president behind Democratic contenders, you've got to say, hey, why don't we just wait this out? I mean, I think you're absolutely right on that.
And you've even got the former Secretary of State John Kerry going to Iran to basically say the same thing to them. Wait it out. Trump won't be here forever. We'll go back to the good old days. We'll be in charge.
The question is, will the American voters, you know, that the swing voters, we know there's no problem with the Trump base. We know the Democrats have their very, very progressive base, and they're motivated. But the question is, the swing voters, you know, when they finally get to the polls, those independents and those people that maybe were Democrats, voted for Trump, will they vote for him again? Maybe disaffected Republicans. The question will be, do they see through this and realize that so much of the Trump agenda, especially on the international front, mm-hmm. has been hindered, you know, by this constant media attack?
You know, I think the American people, I mean, I have enormous confidence in democracy and the common sense of the American people, which is all too much missing in Washington. The one virtue they don't have is much common sense. So I think at the end of the day, the American people will see through this. But Trump's got to put on the nice guy hat every now and then. And I think he could put it on and do something really significant and major with China.
KT McFarland, as always, thank you so very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
Absolutely. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And that's it for the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you very much for being with us. We've got the news coming up next at 8 with Maria Leaf. Then it's Garden Sense.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.